Hi, it's Veronique Floro. I'm listening to Motopod.
Mark, shut up.
The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello and welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 271 for Wednesday, April the 27th, 2011. Hello and welcome again.
And welcome to you as well. This is Mark Brax giving our intro, and I think that might be the first time we've had a special guest join us. I'm here with Jules Chisek here in California. Mark is down under, as they say, and welcome to both of you.
Hey.
Oh, welcome there. Yeah. Cool. Happy Easter. Oh, I hope you had a good Easter anyway.
Not bad. Some racing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and indeed we had some racing, some great BSB racing. Mark, we thought we'd take the opportunity to sort of catch up with you. It's been a little bit. How are things doing down there, and what are your impressions of what's going on in the racing world right now?
Some excitement. So the seasons are finally starting to roll in together, aren't they, now that the as early season breaks have finished. But talking about racing, I saw your little clip on the YouTube the other week.
Oh,
body racing.
That boy, was I slow or what?
Well, I was just wondering how much you paid the other blokes for you to pass.
Thank you so much.
Nah, it's good to see you getting out there, that's for sure.
By the way, this is one thing that I have to do, and this is actually the perfect time to do it, Mark. This is kind of a tradition on the show, but to open the show, we usually make this noise, which famously is a oil can of Foster's. That's for you, mate.
Thanks, mate. That's all we exported over there. No one down here drinks it.
I know. BSB, I know you've got your boy Josh Brooks up there. He had a bit of a tough weekend, but what did you think about that? Did you catch that on the telly?
I saw bits of it on the internet. We don't get the direct coverage down here at this stage, but from what I was looking at and talking to the guys, it was BSB's back to its usual elbow barging and, you know, paint swapping good self that it was, because it was pretty intense up there. Not only Josh Brooks, and like, he crashed on the exit of Paddock Hill Bend, which is a very unusual place to crash halfway down the hill. So one thinks that he must have hit one of the bumps there that can catch you out going down the hill up the Druid. So that one, and Michael Laverty, I think he had another big one too that he managed to walk away from. So it was, a bit of carnage there. But the cream rose to the top again, didn't it? The old boy with Shane Byrne getting up there, and with Tommy Hill breaking through for a win too. So that was a good, the young and the old. But just goes to show that that is going to be another intense series. And I think Johnny Hopkins got a bit of surprise when he got out there to realise how intense the battles are going to be out there. He thought it might have been a bit of a harden up in the old AMA days and MotoGP and stuff, but I think he's going to learn a bit about street fighting over there this year.
no doubt.
Especially at that track, too.
Yeah. The Brands Indy circuit is a tight little thing, laps down in the 45, 46 second range. And while Hopkins, you know, he was born and bred on some of the tracks in the United States, which are, you know, not all of them are world-class circuits, and that's being very kind, are certainly not the goat trails that we see in the UK.
Yeah, true. There's they're going to be going to another one this weekend too. I think they're out
Alton.
At Alton Park this weekend for the next round at BSB.
Yeah, and I should be kind of Brands, because Brands is actually a beautiful circuit. They just run on the Indy for the first race of the season where they run there, and that one is just very tight and twisty.
Yeah, it is. It's very, it's only less than half the circuit, really, and the classic circuit that everybody loves, but they're back there twice later on the year, so I suppose it evens itself up a bit.
Yep. You've had some Australian superbike action going on down there, haven't you?
Yeah, recently. That was a weekend before last as well, and at Darwin up in the tropics. Josh Waters broke through for a win, which I think he's just landed over your way, actually. He's heading up to do some testing at Utah with Geordie Burgess.
Indeed he is.
Josh won a race. Yeah, that was his second round. He's missing a few rounds in the Australian Championship. He's the champion from a couple of years ago. So, Glenn Allerton on the BMW, another ex-Australian champion, he did really well. He won a race up there as well. So The superbike field a bit depleted this year. I think it might be showing the signs of the economic depression and everything that we're going through, and just trying to get, you know, the transport and everything from around Australia can be pretty hectic. That's subsidised, but they've still got to pay for accommodation and airfares, which isn't the cheapest thing in the world. But they're also down this weekend at Western Australia, where they're what they call the 2+4 meeting. The superbikes are on the same card as the old V8 supercars, which I suppose is the equivalent of your NASCARs.
Mm, yeah, the difference being is that you guys actually turn left and right.
And then you use wheel cars.
Yeah, exactly. So that's on again this weekend. So it's warming up down here, but I think all eyes are focused overseas now. It's all the superbikes and MotoGP coming up this weekend after the 1 month sabbatical.
Do you have any thing to say about Jerez? We haven't heard from you in a while. A lot, I guess.
Rossi made a mistake. Yeah, I've been copying a lot of comments about it all, and you know, like, I'm sure Rossi didn't mean to go in there and take him out. It was just one of those things that worked for him a lap before, and he thought he'd pull it off again. But if Casey knew he was there, why didn't he give him a bit more room? And I noticed on the press conference yesterday, they were saying that the Honda, when it goes over a certain angle, like the engine cuts out because of this 6-engine rule, and they're doing it as a safety thing. But I've said the whole time, why in a race would you do that? You know, you're in the heat of battle when you're turning off your main weapon, so to speak. So they've evidently learnt something to change it so they can actually push start it, to loosen up the slipper clutch a bit, to let it to turn the engine a bit. But excuse me, there's a horse just jumped through the gate. Can someone go and get it? It's a bit late. The horse has already bolted in that regard, hasn't it? So a bit too late. But I think Honda with all their engineers would have seen through all of that. But you know, it's just I think with Rossi, I reckon it's added to the championship, to tell you the truth. We need a bit of rivalry. And what better than an Italian on a Casey Stoner's old bike? So I just reckon it adds to it even a bit more.
That's right.
True. Do you have any thoughts for this weekend at Estoril?
Well, it depends on the weather.
Yeah,
Isn't it funny that last year it got rained out and one of the sessions got rained out a couple of weeks after the controversy of Phillip Island. So they moved the event again to appease Dorna, and they've got threats of rain all weekend. So I don't think the gods of nature really care what weekend you throw a motorcycle race on. If they want to cry, they're going to cry.
True. It will be interesting. You know, there's some guys that actually do well in the wet there. I had a talk with Ben Spies a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, I really don't care. Either way is good.
Yeah, well, it's, and you see those guys come to the fore. Like, look at Simoncelli last week in a ref. If he didn't have that little whoopsie, he was well on the way to his first Grand Prix win.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You saw these guys start to come to the top of Rossi's a good wet weather rider, but the one that surprised me was Lorenzo, because that was the first race that he's actually won from start to finish in the wet. Or the race was wet the whole way, not that it went dry, wet in between. I remember he used to be laughed at in the wet, because I remember a couple of years, I think it was 07 on the 250 at Mugello, he crashed in the warm-up lap in the wet.
So yes, exactly.
Learn how to handle himself in the wet. But and interestingly, out of the last 20 Grand Prix, he's won 10 of them. So he's the one that you've got to really put your money on, whether it be rain or shine.
Absolutely.
Very true.
In fact, he's about to overtake Angel Nieto. He's had 22 successive top four finishes.
Yeah, so he's on a bike that he reckons hasn't got the power of what the others are doing. That's why it'll be interesting to see what happens on Monday and Tuesday, the test after Estoril. Right. But just for my pick for the weekend, depends on the fitness of all, doesn't it? Did Danny Pedrosa's shoulder get fixed properly? Is Rossi's shoulder healed enough for him to really give it a nut full? And I think he'll be trying to do a nut fill because of the proof that his talent doesn't outweigh his ambition.
you know, personally, I think that Pedrosa is probably going to be taking it easy because it's clear that the removal of the plate plus the removal of the screws that were holding the plate in are actually going to leave him in a little bit more of a vulnerable position. But we'll have to see. But if it's wet, you still have to be cautious anyway. And if it's wet, that benefits Rossi, who doesn't have to put as much weight on the shoulder. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll just be seeing how no one's really blamed the Ducati because it's got this chronic understeer problem, hasn't it, that they're talking about.
Yeah.
But did that tuck the front on Rossi going into that first corner of Jerez on that particular Sunday?
I think he was just riding balls out, frankly.
Yeah.
Well, he was, but that's what we come to expect the guys that are champions. They're not going to hold back, are they?
Nope.
There's a gap there, they're going to go for it. And especially if the gap there is in front of you is the bloke that used to be on your bike. I love it.
I do enjoy the chatter back and forth. So Mark runs MotoRaceFace.com. It's a new website that he's put together, and it's very cool. Lots of rider interviews and things like that. Who have you got on lately there, Mark?
Anthony West just pulled up another 7 blogs. Colin Edwards just put one up for me.
Cool.
Troy Corsa and a few other guys have slowly putting more and more of them up. It's going to take time because it's this new technology of them getting the film themselves. So I'm surprised with it. We've been hit by over 54 different countries at the moment. So I'm learning all about this Twitter and Facebooking, how important that is for marketing these days.
Absolutely.
It's a whole new science, all this thing about how you get your website name out there. So trying to get everybody to follow me and follow them and follow you and all the rest of it sounds like a Genesis song. But yeah, it's going well. It's I don't know you'd know, Jim, when you start off, how do you put a finger on whether it's going well or not? It's just the fact that it's going to take a long, long time to show its potential. But I've got a big meeting on Tuesday with particular mob called News Limited to push this forward with every other sport I can think of with the concept I've come up with. So yeah, it's going to be a big week.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll tell you straight up, Mark, it's like a snowball. They start off small and then they just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Well, at least the arrow's heading in the right direction.
Absolutely. Anything else to share with us? And then we're probably going to drag on with the rest of this slog.
Oh, well, just the World Superbikes.
How about
that on that? After what happened in Assen with the carnage there of guys taking each other out, teammates, and that 600 race with Sam Lowe's the big high side, and those guys getting run over later on in the restart, it just shows you how good that you and, I did a blog on it myself, and I was just amazed at how good the safety gear is these days, that we can go and buy the same gear off the rack. But these guys are, using it 200 kilometres an hour. And, they walk away from it, basically. And just mentioning that, the new Alpine Star suit that they're bringing out this weekend for Pedrosa and Stoner on the Repsol boys, they got the airbag in the suit protecting the shoulders and the collarbone. So, and amazingly, it's not just a one-use bag. Like, if you came off and it was activated,
it'll deflate.
You can deflate it again, plug it back in, get back on your bike, and head off again.
Oh, so no more like Lorenzo getting screwed because this thing went off on a small fall, like in Dunnington, for example, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Now they can deflate and away they go again. So,
I wonder if they can actually activate that when they get off the bike and park firmer if they've won, so they can bulk up, look badass.
I'm
sure someone will do it. But no, the superbikes at Monza next weekend.
Yep.
I've just been talking to Brian Starring. He's one of the Aussie champ from last year, superbike champion's gone over to race in the Superstock Championship with the superbikes this year, and he's doing an Italian championship at Monza this weekend. And his quote is, "Who was the sick nut that designed this track? It's awesome."
I know. Yeah, Jules and I were talking about that last week because neither of us are big fans of the turn 1, 2, 3, the initial chicane that basically has produced much carnage over the years.
Yeah, it should have just been slowed down into a bit of a bend instead of having them come to a stop corner after hitting 300 k's or whatever. But speaking of that, with the 300 k's, it's going to be interesting how Max responds now after these two mediocre weekends he's had. The one wasn't too bad at Assen. He got on the podium a couple of times, but he was not right up there with the Ducati of Checa. And I think Checker is going to be let down a bit on top speed next weekend with the Ducati. So it's Max's best chance to get the bike up the front. And speaking of speed, I think you might be seeing the BMWs a bit closer to the front too, because they've been doing some more testing with new bits and pieces.
Yeah, but I do know that Max and Leon Camier were testing, I forget where, Mugello maybe, last couple of days.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to get as much. It's proving now, like, you didn't hear about this a couple of years ago, did you, the testing between races? It's just showing you how competitive this Superbike Championship's getting. That they're going out, all teams in all different times, to do testing between races to try and get that extra edge, because... And look at the lap times they're doing at Assen. Like the top 10, I think, was split by 0.8 of a second or something before Superpole. And Superpole, it was like there was a bee's dick between them all.
Yeah, well, I think Max was trying to make sure that his different colored OEM fuel pump still worked. Did I say that?
Good to say someone did it, yeah. What they can get away with.
Yeah, no, it should be cool. And frankly, Monza is a mental track, and I love watching races from there. With the exception of that first turn, it's epic looking, and it's got so many turns that are just out. The Parabolica for me is just one of those turns that is
It's iconic. It's very iconic, but man, it's a really scary track for me. I'm always holding my breath when I see guys going around there.
Well, it is a scary track in that regard. I think because of the demise of the Japanese Grand Prix, Monza was put forward as a replacement track. And I'm imagining the GP bikes around there.
Oh, Christ.
But if you want, speaking, one race to go back and have a look at for Monza, I think it's about 1997, 98. And it's Fogarty, Slight, Corsa, Kaczynski. There's about four of them that are just slipstreaming each other and Killy's in there as well, and they're just slipstreaming each other for the 20-odd laps of the race, and they're just, the last couple of laps is just absolutely mental, and I haven't seen it for a lot of years, but it's still pretty high on the memory banks, that one.
Yeah, we'll see if we can't find a link to that, God love the internet, on YouTube or somewhere else to show the fans. I'd love to see it as well.
That was probably before the chicane was put in, right?
No, I think it had just been put in. Yeah. Fogarty ran off there on the last lap.
Oh, right there. Oh, wow. That'll be worth seeing.
Causing trouble since day one.
Exactly.
All right. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, I always love to have you on the show.
No worries. Anytime, guys. Just spread the word of Moto Race Face, and I'll spread the word of Moto Pod.
Will do.
You bet.
Cheers, mate.
All right. Have a good week, guys.
You too. Bye.
Mate.
There you go.
Well, that was great.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I love having him on. And actually, his connection was better than most. So, Jules, where were we? I'll dive back in.
Well, we were starting to talk about Estoril.
Well, but I want to just jump back a little bit, step up the little bits and bobs that we do at the very beginning.
Bob's, Dave's, and Jamie's, you mean?
Yeah. Interviews this week, we're going to cut in a couple, and I won't even tell you yet who they are. Or should I, Jules?
You can go ahead.
Okay. Some guy named Jorge. He's Spanish, I think. Gonzalo Silva is over at Estoril for MotoGP for us. Got a little talk with Jorge Lorenzo, as well as Alvaro Bautista, returning and now certified, quote-unquote certified, to run for this weekend's race. He was certified, I believe, on Wednesday, and then again yesterday by probably the Clinica Mobile, and he said that he's going to run at least the first practices and see how he feels and see if he's good to go for the weekend.
It's pretty remarkable.
It is. And
Six weeks again, right?
Yep. Well, these dudes just turn around. But his was a relatively, you know, clean break, if you will.
A break, still.
Yeah, it's still a break. And as I mentioned, Gonzalo Silva is over there for us. I expect that he'll be getting us more photos, interviews, and whatnot. But you can also always see what he's doing for us on the Facebook fan page or at Gonzalo Silv, S-I-L-V, on Twitter. You follow Motopod on Twitter, you follow either of us, you'll see us talking back and forth to him, and he's doing stuff during the day. In the meantime, we were talking about getting my ass to the TT last week, and some listeners stepped up very mightily, and I want to thank all of you guys. Definitely use more. It's still not looking so great, but we'll see what we can do. But I just did want to name some names: Bob McCullough, David Harhey, Jamie McVeigh, who always comes to the fore, Ed Hauser, thanks, John Lucci, and Paul Baxter, all of you guys. Thanks a bunch, and we've got kind of an interesting program coming up to see if we can finish this off and make sure we can bring you the coverage that we like to bring you from the Isle of Man TT.
Right, so look for links on Facebook tomorrow morning or afternoon, and jump on if you can.
Cool. Also do want to thank Chris Cruzell, and maybe we'll just throw a link to the photo on that, of drippinwet.com, who has done our logo and who's putting together these cool flag logos that we're doing for stickers, which are coming, and certainly will be in the cool link that Jules was just talking about. because Gonzalo is sporting a Estoril flagged t-shirt over there, which I think is way, way cool.
It's one of the coolest I've seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want one. I want a sticker for every round now.
Well, I think we have
poor,
to.
Poor Chris.
I think we have to do it. You know, as long as we keep the Drippin' Wet logo on there. But I know Chris is busy a lot of the time. I mean, he's doing this stuff for multiple professional writers, and for him to take the time to take care of us is great. I just need to figure out a time where I can get him on the phone and say, okay, this flag. He and I have these long phone conversations quite often. But let's talk about racing a little bit more. Estoril this coming weekend, certainly, and there's a whole bunch going on.
Sor Gil Bautista, so you're finally riding in Estoril. How's the leg recovering?
Yes, the leg recovery has been very, very hard because I worked during 1 month 24 hours every day, no? So it has been very hard, but at the end I can be here in Estoril. Tomorrow I will try if I can. I will do all weekend, but still I have a very important test tomorrow when I ride for my first time the bike.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of cycling, a lot of travel to Madrid to take care of the leg, but it's the first time you're going to be on a bike after the crash.
Exactly, it's the first time that I'm going to ride with MotoGP, and I'm looking forward to see what happens.
Yeah, okay. So your goal for this weekend is just to be able to ride, be there on Sunday, and
exactly,
finish the race.
Exactly. My target here is to finish the race, to race all weekend, and to improve my feeling with the bike from the first day to the last day.
Okay, so this was probably the worst time you could get an injury, because after Estoril you had Le Mans, everything one after the other.
Yeah, I think it's for me it's the best moment to get the feeling, because now we have two races and then we have 3 weeks to continue with the physiotherapy, and also the mind remember how was the last two races, no? And then we have a lot of races in a row, so I think it's very important to start here and to do these two races just for the mind and to have very clear the feeling with the bike.
Okay, Suzuki 2012, do you know anything about?
Nothing.
I don't
know nothing.
Absolutely clear. Okay, no problem. Well,
okay.
Nice talking to you, and I hope I'll see you Sunday on
the. Okay,
thank you
very much.
Thank you. You okay, Tristan? For just a few minutes. Deal with Jorge Lorenzo. You've been impressive with the 800 Estoril, one of your favorite racetracks. What do you think it's going to be this year? It's such strong competition for the men with the Honda.
Well, I think Honda is very strong this year.
Sí.
They improve a lot. So for us, it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah,
but you know, all the people say that Stoner will win a lot of races and Danny too. But at this moment, we are leading the championship.
Yeah, exactly.
With
a second and the first so far. So.
But only two races, you know?
Yeah.
16 races more, so it's too early to take a conclusion.
Yeah, exactly. So Monday, are you doing any testing, trying to get a little bit more power on that engine?
Yes, we're going to try a different engine, also a different suspension and electronic.
Okay.
Smaller steps, but we think to improve a little bit more the bike.
Well, Estoril is a racetrack that you enjoy. It's no secret that you like Estoril. But the next few races, you're going to start having long straights and all that. You think you're going to keep being able to stay there close to the powerful bikes with this new engine that you're going to test? Well, at Catalunya, it's going to be a challenge for you, even though it's a good...
I know it's going to be tough this year, but I'm prepared to try to make the maximum I can do.
Yeah.
If the maximum I can do is to finish third or fourth, I will have to make this position. If I can win, of course I'm going to try.
The goal is to be the world champion again at the end of the season.
This is what I would like, but maybe it's not possible.
We'll see. Thank you very much, Luke.
Thank you.
We'll see you. Okay. We'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we don't know anything yet about what we're going to see because we haven't seen it at first practice. We don't know what the weather is going to be like. The forecast right now is actually changing. It looks like we may have decent weather on race day, but there's going to be definitely a wet day in there, probably during qualifying at least.
Yeah, and as we speak right now, first practice is, what, about 4 hours away, right?
Yep.
Yep. So by the time you guys hear this, it will be done.
That is correct. And yeah, so I really think the weather is going to be a big factor. As we know, Estoril is pretty close to the coastline. Atlantic has a lot of winds, so we weather can change very quickly. Right now, there's a 30% chance of precipitation on Sunday, which is down from like 70 just about a couple hours ago. That was checking. So that's how fast things can change there. Yeah, and our guy on the ground will probably let us know exactly what's going on.
Absolutely. If we wake up early enough, or I'm tempted to set my alarm kind of early and see what Gonks is talking about or send him a couple of texts. We have some really interesting stats from this weekend. I mean, one that's kind of clear is that Lorenzo has won this race from the pole since his first season in MotoGP in 2008. Three straight, and he can do nothing but call him a favorite in the wet or dry.
Yeah, yeah, and I have to say that first time in 2008 when he made that pass on Rossi in the chicane, it just really sticks in my mind. It was a beautiful pass that we've now seen him do many times. He knows how to shove himself in there. He's been so confident. When we were talking with Braxy, you know, these 22 fourth or better finishes, it's ridiculous. It's an incredible streak. It's probably not going to end here.
Yeah, I think your voice is starting to fade, brother.
Yeah, I know.
And a couple of other things just to make note of. Rossi has podiumed 10 of 11 times he's appeared here, including 5 wins, which is an astounding record. This weekend could be interesting with the evening out of if we end up with a wet round, and odds are we're going to, or at least plenty of wet practices and nobody really having a perfect setting for Sunday. He certainly is in with a shout. Stoner, Casey Stoner.
So do you know when Rossi didn't finish on the podium?
It was 2 years ago, was it not?
Yep, correct.
Yep.
Not bad.
I have some memory cells left. Casey Stoner has never won this round in any of the classes. Now, this could be an interesting weekend for him. Certainly the Honda is up to snuff, and we can see that if he is not skittled out of contention. One point I should make, the only rain tires that will be there this weekend are the softs, is my understanding. The same tires that they ran in Jerez. I go back and forth, get over it. there's still not a multiple compounds of tires in the wet, which I'm still thinking is not a great idea. That being said, this is the first weekend that they do have the asymmetric drives, but it may not matter. I think I'm going to try and get a hold of Tom Tremaine for next week's show and see if we can have a chat about tires a bit. The bit that you talked with about Braxy, about Lorenzo and El Nieto.
I have to throw an errata in here. The first race that Casey Stoner won in the 250s was actually at Estoril. He just hasn't won since.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all sorry. Right. I should have put that in the note.
Sorry, Casey. Now he'll never talk to us again. No, wait. No, he already did. The stat you talked about with Mark, I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, the successive finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Rossi has the record, which I believe was during his Honda years and into the season with the first season with Yamaha. That's 28 in a row. And Angel Nieto is now tied. I mean, Lorenzo is now tied with Angel Nieto for 22 successive top four finishes. Now, think about that. I remember when we were really impressed with Colin Edwards having a run of 20 something races where he had points.
Mm-hmm.
This is top four.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Those are the kind of stats that you would die for. And the consistency is clearly something that's actually going to bring home the bacon, sponsorship, and teams for the end of the season. Yeah, no doubt. And one thing that I want to re-mention, because I know that Braxy mentioned it, was for Stoner, they have modified the Honda's clutch. And he did mention it in the press conference today that in a rather tense bit. And I haven't watched it yet, but I read some of the transcripts because they were kind of asking Casey about, you know, Jerez and, you know, how it went and what he thought his chances were and how any changes they might have made. And he said they changed the clutch so that the bike might be easier to bump start. But it was clear that from the photographs and the transcript that I saw that Rossi was kind of just keeping mum, whether that is classic Rossi theatrics or it's got to be. I mean, that's all it can be. I mean, you can't even guess.
He's standing there whistling, it looks like.
Yeah, well, he had his head dipped, you know. Andrea Wilson got a killer picture of him during that exact period where he's kind of looking down. He's got a pensive look on his face. And Julian Ryder mentioned something on Superbike Planet in his minutes about the thing that Casey was asked about if he was, you know, what his chances were. Somebody asked Casey what his chances were, and he said, well, if I don't get bumped off, I should be fine. And he had a smirk that was trying to spread into a wide-ass grin. And in other notes, you did mention, and I don't want to go into this too much because it's going to lose a lot of people, but I remember bits and parts of it. But if you have the opportunity to watch the 125 race from last year, Mark Martinez had a crazy race in that with the rest of that group, and it's well worth going back and catching up on if you want a little bit of action before the actual racing starts off this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when Martin is back on the show, he'll probably talk about that race at least 10 more times.
No, you think so? Yeah. Just an FYI for you guys. Martin is still on the show. We love Martin. God bless him. And it's not like just because he got married, all of a sudden he's spending all this time with Sharon. And although that's a lovely thought to think, Martin's having to deal with work. And this is something that happens all the time. Frankly, one of the reasons that Jules and I are doing this later in the week is because both of us have had to deal with work. In fact, I'm going to be working all weekend at my regular job. And it is what it is. Maybe someday we'll be able to do this full time. But in the meantime, we have to do what we have to do to get the show out to you guys. What else we got coming up? As Mark mentioned, and we talked about a bit, we do have Monza coming up. I love Monza, even with turn one. the history and the grandeur and the visuals for Monza just like blow me away.
When I see cars there, I love watching it. I just, you know, it's too many cringes for me. You know, I don't like watching a race and being on the verge of a panic attack.
Yeah,
and I'm blowing this out of proportion. I mean, it's not you know, a death trap or anything like that. It's just that in the modern, you know, racing world, this is not a circuit that would have been homologated had it not had the history.
Well, and I'm looking forward to it anyway. And I'm also looking forward to talking to James Witham after it, or maybe perhaps in the middle of it. And I know that he feels the same romantic feeling that I have about the circuit. And we talked about that last year a bit. And you could tell he kind of had a quiver in his voice when he was talking about the track.
So you guys are going to go cry about it. That sounds great.
Well, fuck off. in the meantime, oh, and I guess I should have chatted about this with Mark Braxy, but I did mention him that we will be going to Infineon, and we're going to try and get some stuff for him for Motor Race Face, so that'll be cool. That's coming up in the middle of May, later on down the pike. Miller Motorsports Park is going to be hosting the World Superbike and AMA as well at the end of the month. The MCN Fantasy League.
Yes, don't forget, this is your time to switch up your riders. Get rid of, you know, guys who might be crashing a lot.
Yeah, and get on it quick, folks, because these open windows are very short. You only get three changes per window.
And you got to be done tomorrow.
Yeah, which or today.
Or today when you're listening to the show.
Yeah. Or yesterday, if you listen to it over the week. Yeah, it's kind of like having a contest, Jules. You know, you better grab it right away. Certainly, I will tell you, folks, that there's a formula, and all you have to do is look at it and figure out how many races there are, how much people cost. Bottom line, right?
Yep.
Very simple. The next round is going to end on May 27th, just before Miller World Superbike, and so, you know, get your stuff in. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with the people you have.
Exactly. Did we finish already?
Yeah, I think we're done.
Okay, great.
Maybe. I think I'll, yeah, you know what? Okay, we're done.
All right, ciao, everybody.
Bye. You know what, Vero? Do you know what I want?
Oh my God!
What would you like?
Okay. Well, there is a term in the radio business called a kicker, or an outro. And what I want? No, Mark. Shush.
That's funny.
No, this is
Veronique. Mark Miller's pet umbrella girl, and you're listening to MarkPod.com.
No, well, Mark knows exactly what the term is, but. if you feel like slighting Mark, feel free to do so. All you need to say, this is Veronique Fleurot, and you're listening to Motopod.
You should say, behind every man, a great man is a great woman or something. No.
Oh, my God. I'm too shy for that, Ken.
Bullshit. I know you can do it. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Just say it.
What do you want me to say?
Say, my name is Veronique Fleurot, and you're listening to Motopod. Shut up, Mark.
Baby, I don't want to embarrass you.
I love it. Oh, you're not going to embarrass me. You're going to embarrass yourself.
Okay, I'm going back to sleep right now.
No, baby, give Jimmy what he wants. Come on, give him something because it'll be adorable.
Can I just say it's me and I'm listening to MotoG, but...
we don't even have a G anymore.
He's gonna use
oh,
that.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I'm going to focus,
say your name, and say you're listening to Motopod, and just do it. Come on.
Hi, it's Veronique Floro. I'm listening to Motopod.
Mark, shut up. One more time.
I think it's funnier with the laughing. Anyway.
Hi, it's Veronique Floro. I'm Okay, I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Yes, you can. I'm going to turn. You know what? I'll hang Vero.
Boo.
I'll hang up on Mark. We can.
All right, I'm going to take a leak.
Okay. On your computer.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I don't know.
This is the famous Veronique Fleuro. Everybody's wet dream. Mine included.
Baby, you're not going to the bathroom, is it?
I believe you.
Oh, you can still hear me. I thought I was being muted. Let's put this on air.
Baby.
Only with Jim. He can speak my language. You're being awfully quiet.
I'm laughing.
Okay, I'll be quiet. And now. Crickets.
Oh, and you wondered why I was going to say that I had to edit this myself. Vero, are you still there, dear?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Mark, put a pillow over your head. Tie it with a piece of duct tape.
Now.
Go.
Well, it's again.
One more time and with no giggles in the background.
Okay. Well, can you say what you want me to say?
This is Veronique Fleuro, and you're listening to Motopod.
Okay. Hi, this is Veronique Fleuro, and you're listening to Motopod.
Perfect.
If you use that one, I'm going to kill you.
I might have a whole gamut. I might just run them all for that.
Oh my God. Dude, you got to be different. I mean, your show is way cooler than that.
No, what I'm saying is at the very end, it would consist of you peeing.
And farting.
Yeah.
All right, good.
We're done. Vero, tuck yourself in. Forget this all happened.
I know. I'm going to wake up and I'll be like, my God, was I dreaming or what? Was it a nightmare?
No, it was one of those dreams where you're not sure if it's good or bad.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even say the right thing. I'm sorry. It's 2 o'clock here. I've been walking for 12 miles today. I'm absolutely knackered.
You're also in training for Mark's impending rival, aren't you?
Rival, absolutely.
Yeah,
I just like to keep healthy.
But Mark, do you have a pre-race sexual ritual?
Shag as much as I humanly possibly could. I mean, if I'm all frustrated on the grid, on the starting line, that's not going to help anybody.
No. So you just turn the wench and she goes?
Let me think about that.
I hope all of this is being edited.
we could definitely have an outtake show. Hey, Lab,
it's not funny anymore.
All right, girl, darling. Thank you. We'll let you
be
go.
Kind. Be kind. Edit.
Yeah,
baby.
You do know I'm good. Mark, hang on the line, Vero. I'll let you go to bed, sweetie.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night,
baby. Sleep well. I'll see you in your dreams soon. Come find me, okay?
I let her go.
Good.
Did you? That was still funny. Did you ever get a chance to listen to the raw interview stuff that I sent you?
No, because it's part of the project. I didn't want to get into it because it would spark all. I'd be like, I got to use this. I got to use that. Yeah. And you know, it would be a big can of worms. Yeah. I'll do it after the TT because the Joe Rocket video will be done. I'll have the new studio. Dude, I've ramped this up. I'd love for you to come back to LA someday and just hang out with us.
Well, I've been down twice and you're always busy.
Well, once, right?
Twice.
You were in Central California the second time.
I guess that is true.
The one time, dude, I was right in the middle of it.
I know.
Sorry. We would have had a good time. I regretted it later.
You know what? I would not have been good company because that was a really fucked up trip for me. Everything went wrong.
Oh, why?
The flight was late, so I missed the meeting I was supposed to go to the next morning. The one thing I was going to be able to do was work on the system, and the computer that I'd come down with had died. So I essentially got nothing done. Nothing. Which is fun. Yeah. You know what? I can walk away from something like that and say, hey, you know, learn a lesson for next time. It's fine. You know, if there's one thing that people have raced are good at is taking something away from even the shittiest of situations. Mm-hmm. I truly think that is true. You know, mm-hmm. No matter what happens, even if, you know, you end up with a broken pelvis and you're stuck in a hospital, you learn something from what happened and put you there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't, that's not true of everybody.
No, for sure. I mean, it's. I think every race weekend is a bit of a microcosm of life. You know, you've got the anticipation, the what's the word? The organization, the preparation, mm-hmm. and then you apply all the hard work leading up to the day, and on the day you give it your all, and it either fails miserably, and you realize you can regroup for the next time knowing what you've learned, or you actually succeed and you feel really good about it. But in either case, you feel like you're living. No.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
You're engaged. You know, you're doing it. You're actually not hiding. You're going for it. And every animal species, I think, goes for it day in and day out. Unfortunately, ours is not for food, but it is for a lot of other things like, success and pride and just competition. I mean, it's nature, you know?
Totally. Totally. All right. Listen, have yourself a good evening. It is 6 o'clock on, I'm completely off air right now. So, got any big plans tonight going out or are you just buckled
down? No. I'm editing. I'm still working on this thing. I got to get done. I've got a few days left. I'm working Monday. Sunday tomorrow, we're going to do the video. We're going to see the screening. And then Monday, I have to do a photo shoot for Joe Rocket. And then so that leaves me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to work and pack. And Saturday, I leave. So, it's all good. You know, it's weird. And Jim, is you get some time away from the racetrack and you start feeling like a certain person, you start feeling like a certain individual that has certain worth, and you forget what it is that you do best at because you're away from the racetrack. And then when it starts ramping up again and they start calling you and they start saying, we want you at the press thing, we want you to put a team shirt on, here's the contract, here's tens of thousands of dollars to be you, and mm-hmm. come out and you start to remember what it's about and you start to be appreciated again, it's then that you realize that there's a purpose. You know, there's something in life that you're good at. And I know I'm rambling on, but I do much better when I got my claws into something, when I'm sinking my teeth into something, and that feeling is just starting to come back again as the next season's racing for me is just starting to happen. It's like, oh, but, well, wait a minute, I am somebody. Like, I do have a purpose. I do have some meaning, something that's competent, something that I'm, you know, that will have rewards, or something that where I'm uniquely okay at, which is manipulating the motorcycles and also talking about it. It's a nice feeling because you can get lonely, you can get a little distant and feel like, what the fuck am I worth? You know, what am I doing in this life? It's not until the TT or Macau or whatever starts rolling around again that I think that there is actually something there for me to do that's more meaningful than sitting around and entertaining myself, you know?
But I've seen you and I've talked to you with both your game face and without, and they are two distinct personalities. But obviously sharing a lot of qualities, but, and without sounding like I'm stroking you, you're fine on both fronts. I personally prefer a bit an amalgam of the two with the mostly Mark, because I have actually seen you sometimes over game face yourself. But that's the kind of thing that you have to do for the TT organizers because they're looking for gregarious Mark and, you know, but I think I've got you figured out enough where we do what we need to do right. But there's part of it that you probably feel like, I don't know, does it seem like a bit of a dog and pony show? Well, it's a well-paid dog and pony show that you're going over to do.
You know what? What's cool about the TT is you can't fake it. I mean, once all the talking and stuff, and again, it like any of our interviews have ever been for the 7 times we've done it, it starts off, you want to be interesting, but after a while, you really, like when we start talking about Tom Halsworth and the crew and all that stuff, that's genuine. You know, it's really, truly genuine. What's even more genuine is when you show up and you say, hey, I've put myself out there, I've signed up, and everybody gets their money's worth for whatever their siphoning off of you or in your ability to just chat about it. But then it becomes, you know, the crew included, they also have certain expectations and they work hard. But it's not until you physically, an individual, singularly, throw your leg over the thing and go, well, you know, there's nobody else going with me. You know, this becomes very personal very quick. And that's what's so beautiful about the TT is you can fake short circuit racing. I mean, you can do it. I've done it. It's you run around and you do as best you can, but whatever. This, you can't fuck up. You have one mistake and you could potentially ruin you could damage your body. And you take it for granted that your fingers work. You take it for granted that your ankles work. And you have a certain length of each leg and, you know, you have a vertebrae and you have nerves and your eyeballs work. If you smash something hard enough, if you didn't die, you could lose some of that, the complacency, you know, that, sure. So anyway, which is a beautiful thing. And actually, I think that it's a nice eye opener for me personally, because it will always come back to you. It will always rear its ugly head and say, dude, you have engaged, you have subscribed, you have signed up for something that you cannot fake and nobody else can fake. And if you can actually come in here 9th out of 100 starters out of the whole world that's willing to try this, and you know, we got the ABC crew coming from Nightline, we got all this other nonsensical stuff, which is part of the job, but nothing is more real than when you really go down Braid Hill all by yourself. And it's one last thing to say, well, I'm going to go down Braid Hill and I'm going to risk a little bit of my life and I'm going to try my hardest and we'll see how the chips fall. It's another thing to go, well, wait a minute. When do I actually physically, what moment, what precise second, fraction of a second, do I turn the bars at that speed on a 199 mile horsepower motorcycle? When do I know when to change direction to just miss the blind inside curb and let it drift out to the outside curb? These are choices that have to be made in real time. And it's not something that you can just watch the videos or you can just say, I want to do it, or I'm good at it, or I know how to trail break, I know how to back it in, I know how to do all these amazing feats of physics. But it's when and where you actually physically do the instant that you have to turn in the motorcycle, or the instant that you pop out of the bubble and brake and downshift and then turn in, grab the throttle and get out of the corner. That becomes real time, and it becomes very real, very fast. Like it's not something you can fantasize about. It becomes, if I fuck this 3 inches up, this 6-7 inches, I will crash. I mean, it becomes a lot more in your face as an individual microsecond of decision, and it's not such a bigger picture. It becomes a very the opposite of a big picture. It becomes a very narrow, momentary decision making that you and you alone will decide. Where the athleticism comes in, all the experience.
The TT is the ultimate, I will turn in when I see God course.